Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. And coming up next, we have a former star of the show, Made in Chelsea.
Are we on Radio 4?
This is Radio 10.
Radio 10?
Sometime in the future when all joy has been sucked out of every part of life and it's just me speaking on the radio with this voice. This is the only entertainment you're getting.
Can we also talk about the fact Mate walked in today and I said, look at your outfit.
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, buddy, it's linen.
Yeah, it's called linen. Look it up, baby. It's because I'm just a fucking laid-back guy these days. I didn't tell you, but I told other people in the studio, is that I went for a wee and
made a mark.
I was worried about being late, so I pulled up a bit too quickly and had a little bit of a urine stain on my linen. So I'm not that chilled. I'm pretty chilled, but
in fact, in the moment.
No, I think it's gone. This was a while ago.
Are you excited for today's app?
I'm very excited.
Same.
Are you?
What questions are you going to ask, or I'm going to ask? What do you think?
See, the thing is I often put too much prep into, before we have a guest on. So right now I can't pick. There's a lot of questions. But I mean, why don't you sort of fire something? What are you?
I don't know.
I think, to be honest, it's a good old catch up.
Great catch up.
It's a good old catch up. It's been a while.
Mate, Lucy Watson on the podcast, man. This is
big. We haven't even introduced. Sorry.
So Lucy Watson.
We got LW.
L freaking W.
Former.
X.
Ex-military. What else is she?
Ex-military. Ex-welder. Ex-love interest of yours. He kissed her. Your first kiss ever in Main Chelsea was Lucy Watson.
My first kiss.
It was your first kiss.
I was on a TV show and she was on it as well, yeah.
That was your first
and
kiss
on
me?
You were.
Yeah.
God, the first kiss on... Having to kiss. I mean, I was already... I was already a terrible kisser as it was. No, I was already terrible at being on the show anyway. Like, I was nervous, not a nervous wreck. I just wasn't very good for TV. I was monotone and just a bit like, Then having to kiss. Wow, that was hard. Anyway.
Are you ready for this one?
I don't know.
I can't wait. This is going to be an excellent episode. Here we go. Lucy Watson, our good friend, is on the podcast. I can't freaking wait.
Hi, I'm Lucy Watson, Jamie's ex love of his life, and vegan activist today.
And you might know me from Made in Chelsea.
No, Alex, we don't.
Yeah, you're.
That's the least of my credentials these days, and I'm joking. That is literally what anyone knows me for.
Does that annoy you though? That because actually, Made in Chelsea was such a short period of your life.
Was it? Felt long.
5 years, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
5 years, what are you, 38 now?
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off, I'm younger than you. I am younger than you. No, seriously, I feel so old these days.
It was 5 years of your life, mm-hmm. which is a long time, but not a long time in the long scheme of things.
But long.
But everyone kind of like remembers you, me, Mitt, whoever it is, from that show. Does that annoy us or no?
I actually quite like it, only because people like me from the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually okay
Where's
with
you, Jay?
Both of you.
What? Jesus.
So I feel like it's quite good. Yeah, it's good for me. It's good.
I feel like you left at the right time. You did your bit. You did your 5 years.
Everyone always says that to me. And I do actually agree.
Jamie and I stayed for another five years.
And honestly,
nearly did a decade.
I would put it on and I'd be like, oh my God, they're still there.
You're like, is this a rerun?
Oh no. So
showing the best bits.
They got like an aging filter in a rerun.
I remember.
You were both so scared to leave, weren't you?
Yeah, terrified.
Absolutely terrified.
Why? No,
I'm joking.
I think I was scared. Yeah, I think I was scared.
I think I just became comfortable.
Yeah.
I became comfortable. I was just like,
You had zero role, Alex.
I was making money. You were like the friends.
You became like the counselor.
I went from the arsehole to the counselor. I'd done my
You
bit.
Actually had zero role.
Literally zero role.
It was after like more and more comments started to be like, why is he actually still there? And I was like, I should probably go now. I did my bit. Mm-hmm,
You did your bit for one season.
And then Jamie.
I clung on, man.
You were so terrified. I remember the anxiety.
You were just scared of losing the limelight. That was your thing.
I remember, Luz, I saw you. You may not remember this. We hadn't seen each other for a while. And I was having dinner in an old E&O restaurant. A restaurant called like E&O, which was on Kings Road. And we hadn't seen each other for a bit. And I remember typical Lucy Watson style. You came up to me, we had chat. And then bluntness, boom, straight in. You went, you still doing that show? And I honestly, in my head, I was like, why do I feel embarrassed about this?
Why am I lying?
So I almost was going to go, yeah, no. Or that, but I didn't. I said the truth. But for some reason in my head, that was the moment. I'm not kidding you. This was about 3 years ago, I think I saw you. Or 4 years ago when you came
out. Don't remember this at all.
Do you not remember it?
No.
Yeah, we were in the inner. And that was my moment of realization of perhaps it was time to... start.
Really? So I had a massive influence in your life. Okay.
Well, I think that it was that moment that suddenly I felt a bit...
uncool.
Yeah, a bit uncool, man.
Like a loser.
I have to say I do feel for the guys, though, because I feel like it is so much harder for you because as a girl going on a show, there's so many more work opportunities coming out of it and so many more brand deals that you could get. Whereas for a guy, I feel like it's a lot harder. Gillette. That's who
they,
you work with.
They send me free shit all the time.
Free shit though.
Which I melt down and sell at the local car dealer.
Like a filling.
And I sell to my local dentist. Yeah.
Because you're in it just for the freebies.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, no, it is harder. So I get why you stay on longer.
But I don't think, mine wasn't because I wanted the freebies or the brand deals and stuff like that. Mine was because I just love that world of entertainment.
Yeah, I love it too.
And I was so scared it was just going to disappear if I'd stepped off that show. So I was like just clinging on for dear life.
So instead you got a podcast that you now film mm-hmm. and put yourself out there with your own
damn
videos.
Straight girl. That's exactly it. But it's true. It's scary, right? And you also life is scary, especially when you pick a reality show like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've always had the kind of balls to do it. You were always the punchiest. You came in a little bit later, season 3 or 4, whatever it was. And then you left before everyone else. You're like, okay, I'm done with this. But I swear, no one's like, what was the reason why you left?
Me? What was the reason?
Give it to us straight. What was actually the reason you left?
Okay, I think the real reason was, you know, that whole argument that I have with Steph.
Your friend, Steph Brown.
Yeah. It was really... it wasn't portrayed... in my opinion, the way that it actually like went down. And then I felt like from that argument, actually it just became all about like my relationship and how our relationship was, there were things wrong with it. And she started saying stuff like he kicked her out of my apartment, all this kind of stuff. And I literally was like, you know what, this is actually gonna, we were arguing more during that time. And I was like, actually, this is gonna make us like argue. And then I realized that actually you can't really be in a happy relationship on that show. You can't. And I at that point, I was quite serious with James. So I was like, actually, I value this more. Plus the controlling side of it where you couldn't do other work. Mm. That really annoyed me because I really wanted to do loads more.
Mm-hmm.
And I had loads of opportunities that were coming my way that I had to turn down because of my schedule. Mm-hmm. So then that was it, really.
So you did it just for
preservation of your relationship.
Preservation of my relationship, my mental sanity, And also, I genuinely believed it would be, and I still to this day believe it would be the best decision for like my career, because I'd be able to like get the platform that I got from the show, but it not completely be my identity forever. Like, it was enough time to be on there, but then I could still do other things. And I have kind of almost moved away from it a little bit, I feel like now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like it was just a quite a good career decision, mental health decision. I don't think it was like mentally, like I was depressed. I think I was just really stressed, like really, really stressed. And I couldn't manage the stress of it because I think the schedule was quite like, it took up a lot of my time. And then also just mentally like dealing with the stress of having to just literally my itinerary was crazy. And I felt like there was a lot of pressure on me because I feel like I was one of the like main lead people in the cast. So I had to maybe like ham it up a little bit more with the, with the drama and stuff, you know? And maybe I just grew up a little bit and I just like, I actually can't be bothered to be like causing arguments to everyone all the time.
That's kind of what I felt. Did you feel that same thing?
I think it's just, it's unnatural to live that level of like stress, cortisol.
It's because you have so
to like,
normal.
You're like, right, okay, it's like 7 a.m. in the morning. I need to go down to this place. I need to suddenly turn on this like battle like face because I'm about to get attacked by some girl or some guy is going to come in and like have a go at me, and having to do that 3 to 4 times a week.
But like, do you know what would have normally been a conversation between two like adults that have been like, you know, you fucked up, like what are you doing, whatever, and it just being like not as aggressive, it just, that's not going to get the views. No. So you've got to, it's got to be a bit more, it's like drama school. It's
but
like
but the break most- that down though a little bit, because a lot of people sitting listening will just go, well, that's easy. You just get to turn up and you get to just say these things and you get to watch when you get to taken on holidays and you get to be paid and all these different things. Why is that stressful? Why is it draining to us?
I think it's every emotion but heightened by 100. So it's like normal life is pretty much, I guess, probably like this. And you have like a few dips and highs and whatever, and it's pretty stable. And then when you're on a show, it's literally like the emotional side of it. You're having to be, you know, in arguments with people. There's a lot of like tension as well on set when you're having these like dramas with people and arguments. And it is quite, you are quite good at compartmentalizing it, I think. I like lived
sociopaths.
And breathed it. Is that what it is?
Yeah, people just kind of. Like psychopaths.
I don't think it's sociopathic. I was able to put it to one side.
You had a much more of a business brain with it as well.
Totally. Mine was purely like, business.
Yeah.
Mine was always that.
Through.
Yeah, always.
The whole way through.
I think you were good at putting that like act on.
Yeah, but
the problem with doing that for so long is like, how long can you keep that up?
Dude, I'm sorry to cut you off, but storing stuff. This is what I've worked out, storing stuff. So going, okay, here comes all the emotion, blah, 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 whatever. You're in the trenches, you're being hit all the time, you're stressed all the time. You put that to one side, like I was doing for so long, it comes out thick and fast later down the line.
You did get emotional at times. Like, I feel like occasionally it would like bubble over, but I feel like you were very business-minded and you could just, the next day you'd just be fine.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't take it home with you.
I couldn't understand why people weren't.
I don't understand why I wasn't. I really, if I could do it again, I would be a lot more like that.
Yeah, I don't understand. For me, it was pure, always, it was always business. For me, it was, what I didn't understand, it was though, it's just business.
People, another day in the office.
Just fucking business.
Yeah, I fucked her. What? It's just another day in the office.
Fucking business.
Oh my God.
Truthfully.
I so know that about you. Have you ever admitted that before?
No, I never have.
Exclusive.
Yeah, it was business. It's just business. What the?
I think after a while you start to naturally become a bit more like that. But at first, it's still like real life to you. So like, unless you're a bit kind of, you're good at like disassociating the two, you're gonna feel like it's like real emotion.
Yeah,
it's gonna fuck you up.
But if you see it as a business, like Jamie did, then you don't let it affect. It doesn't affect you.
Yeah, you're
but
just
I like,
didn't
well,
see
this
that.
Is just a business decision. So like, I know this is gonna benefit.
Did you
the
did
views.
You see like dollar signs when people were shouting at you? Like,
no, but I saw I like my first. So my first.
No, can I just cut you up? You loved a storyline opportunity.
Yeah, of course.
You
100%.
If there was a storyline,
motherfucker.
If there was a storyline, I feel like you would just
Lucy
run
Watson
off to the producers, and you would tell them. And
get
then it
your
would
little
be in a scene the next day.
You saw a little story as well, a little nugget. You also would have chomped down on that.
Yeah,
bit
I did,
of cheese.
But I was so much more subtle than you.
Yeah, but what's the point of being subtle? The audience don't. Yeah. No, my thing is this, is that first two seasons I did, I was like, this is like being on like a summer camp. I was like, this is so fun and all these different things. It's like a summer camp. And then when I watched the shows back, I was like, oh, wait, hang on a second. It's edited in this sort of way and stuff like that. So I didn't realize it. So after the second season, when I then, I remember I kissed Louise Thompson or whatever. And it was organic, but kind of constructed in a certain way. And I remember thinking, ah, okay, now I get it. Now I get it that what we're here to do is to create drama and entertainment and funness and all these different things. And this isn't just like a summer camp. It's something else than that.
So you kissed her because you wanted to kiss her, not because you thought it would be a good storyline.
It was a mixture of two. I fancied her, of course, and I wanted to kiss her. But also in my head, I went, oh, this would be a good storyline as well. And that was the first time I had done it. So then the only time I didn't do it was when you and I hooked on. I was like, no, I just actually.
Oh, of course. Like, vice versa.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Business went out the window. Yeah, yeah. I clocked off that day.
Me and you hooked up and I was like, ah, she's really like
real
it.
Life.
I don't care about the cameras. Get them out of here.
So I feel like you were business. You were like.
So like, are you saying you, I was just a storyline to you? That's what you were saying.
Is that what you're saying? Is what you're saying?
Come out, everybody.
No, I definitely think it was.
What?
What do I say now? I think, no, there was a storyline element.
Someone just speak in your ear. What's that? Ooh.
Ooh. I was talking to myself before. I was listening what I was about to say before I said it. And then I was like, no, ooh, you can't say that. I think it was a storyline opportunity. I think that you and I were super close.
Yeah, very true.
Did I think we were going to like run off into the sunset together and get married?
No.
Never.
Yeah, agreed.
Never in a million years. But I think we were caught up in the moment.
Just remember that. Never in a million years.
Oh my God, that hit real deep.
Let's get that phrase.
Yeah, you're just like, I was like, were we going to run off?
Jay, think of 10 years, think of 100 years, think of a million years. Not even within that million will it happen. A lot can happen in a million years.
The world hasn't even existed for a million years.
I don't think it has.
Not a million. Just to make it absolutely sad. Sure. Yeah. Not in a million years.
No, I know
what you mean.
We were having a lot of fun. Having a lot of fun. But also we were on a TV show.
Of course.
I think we both knew what we were doing.
Okay, but I think I agree with you. So I looked.
Wait, I don't know if I've just totally shattered.
No,
like,
you didn't.
Shattered his heart.
You agree with what I'm saying like about it, yeah?
I think what happens with a TV show, reality show.
You get calls up in it.
Is that you're thrown into an environment where you have to date each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're thrown in a Big Brother house altogether, a metaphorical Big Brother house.
Yeah.
And to date someone outside of that circle is pointless because it's your job, it's your life, it's all those different things. So you date people within it.
Mm-hmm.
And also you're going to date people that are in sort of the way that is sort of, you know, like it's a food chain type thing. That's what happens. Like is that
wow.
What do you want me to say, man? You pipe in.
What was she? What was she, a steak? What's
going on? No, I just think you... People who were there to make fun and make entertainment and really create something fun. That's who you would gel with most likely. But also, at least we were great friends and we got on and so that was that kind of mixture together.
Yeah.
You're kind of in this weird world where like
we're young and foolish and naive.
Your romantic life basically has like a dollar sign next to it. So like
totally.
The more romance and more drama you create within the sphere of the Made in Chelsea like bubble, the more money you're going to make, the more like fame you're going to get.
But so weird because I don't feel like you did that.
I was a complete idiot. We had business. We had like semi-business.
Like,
I just got hammered.
Yeah.
And it was just,
what were you
didn't,
doing? You
I didn't know what I was
through.
Just floating around. Yeah.
We did. I got drunk a lot of the time with you as well.
Yeah.
There was a lot of drinking.
Yeah. I don't know what my game plan was, to be honest.
We were all drunk a lot. We drank too
much. I wasn't as drunk as you guys.
You did have one moment.
Do you remember this time? What are you going to say? The New York thing?
No, it wasn't New York. I wasn't there because I had to go home. Do you remember?
Can I say the New York thing before you say it? The funniest thing I ever saw, honestly, to this day, it makes me crack up so much. We were in New York, filming in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You and I had dated before. And we had dated. So it was a little bit tender between us or whatever.
And we found out that you and Ollie Proudlock had been hooking up.
I remember this.
We found out you and Ollie Proudlock were hooking up. And you both in the scene were like, no, we weren't. Or like whatever, you were like denying it to me. Like we weren't, like nothing's really happening. And then, you guys like went off to like the, I don't know, like the corner of the loo or wherever, somewhere together. You just disappeared off together. And you came out and Proudlock had all your lips. smeared all over his face, and he comes up and he goes, bro, I never freaking did it. And I was like, hey, lipstick, because you're wearing like purple lipstick.
Okay, I was wearing purple lipstick.
You loved purple lipstick.
You loved the purple lipstick.
What are you talking about? I was wearing red lipstick.
Okay, it was red lipstick. Yeah.
Purple lipstick. No, I get that. And actually, I was drunk a lot in New York.
Yeah, we're drunk a lot.
That was a big, I was drunk every day.
Okay, all right, party girl.
Every day.
All right, legend.
No, I want to hear more about Alex's strategy.
Okay, go on, mate. Okay. Go on,
I didn't have one.
No.
I didn't have one. I don't know what I was
doing. You actually, weirdly, because where we would like seek to have relationships on the show because we knew how like, okay, it was fun, but also it was beneficial to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You tried to avoid that, didn't you?
Well, towards the latter part of it, yeah.
Mm.
I couldn't deal with the stress. Like I knew that it was only.
But you don't vocalize this enough. Like, what stressed you out about it?
But was it the stress?
It was just. I think also there wasn't anyone that I was kind of gravitating towards. Do you know what I mean? I'd meet someone else, and then that was.
Do you
kind
think
of
you
it.
Had a bit of like PTSD over like being found out as?
I mean that's
fair enough.
That actually. Was. Yeah. That
I love
was,
how you're like you're tender over it. This is hard hitting freaking interview. Let's go. Were you nervous about the fact that you fucked?
It turns out I do. That was horrible. Fuck awful. Me. That was like.
Can you just explain, like, because obviously some people are just listening, they don't know.
So, it. Series 7.
Yeah.
Still okay. One of the most watched series, which is great.
Big.
I had been going out with someone called Binky Felstead and had got found out to have been cheating, like, the first time. And then
we're 23 at this time, 22,
Jamie,
23.
Yeah.
So I just joined the show.
Yeah, he didn't remember any. I'm in a tunnel of lies.
I just joined the show and I started going out with like, who was kind of the nation's sweetheart at the time. Like everyone loved her. And then this asshole comes in and it's great at first. Like we're in South Africa, like cuddling like lions and stuff. And I've done all these amazing things. And I'm like, I've got this. And then I'm 23 getting hammered, going to clubs around, doing pairs around the UK. And then just end up being a complete fucking sleazebag. And so there's rumors starting to come back. I decide that the best thing to do here, I've got two options. I either come clean and then I'm definitely an asshole, or I try and lie and there's like a 0.2% chance that I'll not be an asshole and I'll get away with it. So I double down hard and they would find out about one story and then they'd discover another one and I'd still lie.
And then
the FBI.
You're like one of those things, you've got those Russian dolls that you just keeps going. You keep opening it. You know,
they would put me in scenes with her mum. Her mum being like, don't worry, I trust you. Like, I know you haven't done this. And I'm like, oh my God. I like crumpling inside. Like my soul's just like,
did you actually, can you just be honest? Like for the first time on here.
For the first time.
Oh no, but you know, did you remember it?
There were some I did. There were some I didn't. Yeah.
So you genuinely blacked out and there somehow.
Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't
really?
Good.
I remember something happened, but but blacking out is a thing. I woke up one morning and I had someone's ID in my hand. I don't remember how that happened.
Girl,
yeah. And a bloke's head in the other.
It was quite traumatic. That
it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But I think after that, I kind of built up quite a thick skin, and I realized that like. Because even though it was bad, we were still living in this culture where like guys fucking up was kind of almost like championed a little bit.
It was.
So it was like, even though I was getting stick from people and the girls were like, ooh, like when I would go to PAs, it was a completely different like question. It was like a different thing. They didn't care. And so I was like, oh, it's actually not that bad. It's a very confusing message.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I feel actually men would probably champion you for being unfaithful because they'd be like, what a fucking like legend. And then like women would probably also be like, oh my God, like he's so hot. I wanna be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it was kind of idolized in a way, but then.
You had this great thing though, Lucy. You would have this great thing where, I remember when you first came into something like that, and it was when social media was just starting. Twitter was popping off.
Twitter was crazy.
Yeah, Instagram was just starting to happen, all this kind of stuff. And you at the beginning got a lot of hate. A lot of hate because you came in so much.
Did you?
Yeah, so much hate. Oh, yeah. And you're 23?
I was 21.
21. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're 21 years old. 21 years old, we don't even know who we are. We're vulnerable, we're insecure, we're all the things that we are at 21 years old. Mm-hmm. You're joining a TV show where then the nation, what you think the nation, are just shouting abuse at you mm-hmm. on this new platform that you're completely alien to, that you don't even understand.
I deserve how, it though.
Yeah, but now you see that, but at the time, how do you handle something like that?
I think it's hard when, like you said earlier, when you are creating a TV show and then you are being hated on for an edit of a version of what happened, because if you edit anything, like you can kind of change, you can take words and put them in different parts of a sentence. Like everything can just look a little bit, if you chop up a conversation, it can look like a completely different conversation, right? So I found that I didn't know going into it that was going to be my role. But when I watched the first episode, I was like, oh, okay, I see what's happening here. I'm going to be like the villain of this. And I'm not really like that. Like I always grew up being like, oh, almost like obsessed by like morals. And I felt like I was actually like quite a nice girl. And then seeing that, I was like, shit, I'm going to be the villain. Okay. And I just wasn't really ready for it. And then I was getting shit for it, but I was, which I understood because I was vile in some of the initial stuff that I did. So I understood it.
You don't need to defend yourself, though. I don't think you were.
I'm not defending myself. I genuinely would have been the same, probably. I would have probably been like,
yeah,
a
exactly.
Bitch. Like,
yeah, exactly. I don't think you need to sort of. I just think
but
you gave a reaction to something.
But I think also I got caught up in the acting side of it because I was like, this is actually a performance. And when they say to you and you start, they're like, look, this is your chance.
You start to almost like subconsciously, because they've created that like mm-hmm. role for you. You're the villain. You then start to like weirdly subconsciously become it.
Yeah.
And you're like 2 months down the line, you're like, wow, I'm a full villain now.
Because
like,
you know what is expected of you and you know that you,
that's it.
Your airtime.
You almost don't want to let them down.
Create
you feel like
your job. Yeah.
You feel like, because they've created that role, you're like, well, I've got to be that for them. If I'm not, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Did you not find that, Jamie?
I definitely did. I had it, yeah, for sure. And there, it's interesting, right? Because it was just such a weird time. The biggest thing that I had that when I came out of it was that for 150 days a year, whatever it was, we were filming this TV show, Made in Chelsea, right? So that's like half the year that you're filming a scene. And every single scene you would have to go into and you have to dial things up. You have to be more bitchy or more happy or more aggressive or more this or more that. So what happened to me drastically is that then every single time I was in any other situation, I thought it was a scene. So every single time I was in the pub with friends or every single time.
What?
So every single time I was going out to a meeting.
That's why you were so annoying.
I would have to be like.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, I would used to think that I would need to get an Uber rating. So right. I would leave each thing and go, did I do well there? Did I, was that good?
You were the biggest fucking people pleaser.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nightmare. And so that's what the show drew me to, is that I was constantly stuck in this sort of psychological thing where I was like, wait, is everything, like, how do I be me again? Yep. And actually a normal person is quite calm and relaxed and considerate, yep, and kind and all those different things. It's not this heightened version of yourself. Oh, the damn, what? That's, yeah, not real. Yeah. And so it was hard for me to bring myself back to that. I'm already here anyway, let alone you put a fucking camera in front of my face. And then I go up there.
Yeah.
So for me to draw it back, that I found that incredibly difficult.
I was genuinely, because obviously I don't really know what you're, I know the main version of you that I know is that version.
Mm.
And on the way here, I was thinking about this and like thinking about how we're all going to have like a massive catch up basically. And one of the main questions I had was, how the fuck does Sophie like deal with you and your energy levels?
Yeah,
like,
it's hard.
Genuinely, because that is the perception of you that I know, is that like hyper, like,
yeah,
always gotta, you do know, something, do the right thing and say, make people happy, and, you know, just whatever. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
how
great
does
point.
She keep up with that.
Well, interesting you say that. So I'm getting diagnosed again with like ADHD, right? Because right. I definitely have that. Like,
getting diagnosed again.
Yeah, because I got diagnosed when I was a kid, but I don't remember what the diagnosis was. I was just used to scream and shout and all these different things as a kid, and it like manifests in different ways. Sophie has been like to me recently. He's like, dude, like, it's, you're not even there sometimes.
She started calling you dude.
Well, no. Yeah.
Intimacy is really,
it's business. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm getting it all retested again, because like there's things that happen with, like, I can be so like involved with one thing and then forget other things the whole time, and all this kind of, my energy is all up all the time, and she finds it tiring. She's like, this is exhausting.
Okay, so I'm right.
Oh, totally. Yeah, you are right. And it is exhausting for her. But because I have the self-awareness now, I understand, right, I'm doing those things. Yeah. So I can offset it in certain ways, I think. Yeah, so that's the thing I'm trying to figure out now. But Luce, with you, one of the big things I admire you for, which was amazing, and you remember me saying, but you'll know within yourself, is you've been heavily into veganism for ages.
Yeah.
You love animals. You always have done.
I watched your guys' vegan podcast.
Which one?
Ed.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was interesting. He's a cool dude.
I don't really watch podcasts or listen to them, to be honest. No offense, but
yeah,
that one I did tune into because I just really wanted to see him like whip your asses.
Yeah, he did whip my ass, yeah. and in a great way. And look, I am, you know, my sweet business vegan. Right, I'm all about. I'm not vegan myself, but I understand the benefits for being vegan and all these different things.
And you understand the lucrative side as well.
Well, true. But I didn't realize. When we first started Candy Kinners, we did make it vegan because we thought that was the best thing.
Who gave you the idea to make it vegan?
We did ourselves. It was all naivety. It was all a mistake.
Do you not remember a conversation that I once had with you?
Maybe you said it to me.
Yes, I did.
Luce, was it you?
Luce, yes.
Luce, it's business, all right?
But Luce, was it you who said it?
Yeah, it was.
Holy years shit, ago, man.
You had gelatin in your sweets. And I said, what you need to do, were they vegetarian and not vegan?
We were vegetarian, but before that we had.
And I said to you, what you need to do, because you were saying that like it's such a competitive market and all these things. I was like, you need to make your sweets vegan because there are not enough sweets out there that are vegan.
Yeah, maybe it was you. Maybe it was you who.
It was fully me.
So it's interesting you say that, because for us it was.
And you were like, oh, I don't know, like it's going to change the, you know, they're not going to be as good, like the quality.
They're better. Yeah. They're 100% better being vegan. They're delicious. Yeah. And now every single confectionery.
I love your sweets, by the way.
Thanks,
they're,
dude.
They're really great.
Every single confectionery company in the world now is trying to become vegan. And it is, I'm not going to bore everyone, but it's so hard to be a vegan sweet. It's very hard. But my point is this, is that I remember you were young, you were getting, we were, you know, height of main Chelsea, you're getting all these brand deals through. You had to say no to so many brand deals because they were using leather, they were using animals, they were using not ethical reasons, all these different things. And you had this amazing mindset. I remember thinking, all of us, me, Mitt, whoever, John, we were going around the country doing PAs in freaking wherever just because they were paying us some money. Mm-hmm. And you were being offered more money than anyone, but turning everything down because you said, well, that's not right. My morals don't fit with that.
Yeah.
It's quite a good compass
still
to have.
To this day.
I'm sure you do, but it's a great compass to have at that age.
Yes. Yes, I mean it is, and I mean, what am I going to do now? Talk about how great I am?
No, no, but I just
if you could just look down the lens.
No,
30
but
seconds.
Yeah,
can
but
I just get into it. No, I'm joking.
No, but just talk. But I think the point is that sticking to your guns, and you know, the point is like if you stand up for nothing, you fall for anything.
Yeah,
and you knew that from the very beginning, which is kind of normally learnt, but you didn't learn it. You just had it within you.
Yeah, I mean, what can I say? I'm super passionate about it. Like, it's not just like, it's not just, it's everything. It takes over everything. My mindset, my, like, my whole life. It's just, it is what it is. And I couldn't be a sellout and work with brands that are, you know, profiting off of the death of animals and then be promoting that to people for money. Like, I just couldn't do that. It just doesn't sit well with me. And if I'm not going to buy those things or eat like those products, why would I then take money to do it? It just seems so wrong. So yeah.
Have you always loved animals?
Oh my God. Yeah. But even like there's animals out there that I don't love, you know,
like what?
Well, like, okay. I love animals.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like, it's not like I look at a turkey and I'm like, oh my God, I love turkeys.
You hate turkeys.
So much. But just because I don't love a turkey, it doesn't mean that I think it's like the right thing for them to like die for me to eat them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just morally, it's got nothing to, it's not always about loving animals. It's about just seeing them as
Ed said when he came on was the main drive is the reduction of suffering, right?
Yeah.
Like across the board.
For most people that go vegan, I think that is the main drive. And a lot of it is also the environmental side and like the health benefits. But I think that is the overwhelming reason why people do this is just because you don't have to love animals to not want them to suffer and die.
Agreed. But do you think a lot of companies are doing greenwashing?
Oh yeah, 100%.
This is this thing that's been flagged up the whole time at the moment. But the hard thing for you is, and I don't want you to get emotional about this, but where, you know, you've had your dogs, and the dog that I knew was Digby.
Yes.
And you know, when an animal of yours then dies, that must feel to you human. And I know a lot of people have that emotional connection.
You're trying to get fucking tears out of me.
I'm not trying to get you tears.
Yes,
you are. No, I'm not. I'm just actually.
I know what you're doing.
This is a business. Business.
This is what I mean. Everything with him is a commodity.
It's not.
Yeah, yeah. Your tears literally have got dollar signs on them.
I know.
Lucy, do you know what? This is not a fucking commodity. I saw you.
A business.
I saw you at. The reason why I wanted to come on the podcast.
Lang, you've been seen.
No, we came to your sister's wedding.
I know him so well. Like, I genuinely know you through and through.
No, I saw you at your sister's wedding. We had such a fun time, and I said I really would love. You come back on the pod, and it's just amazing. But I just do want to know this: is that you know that must be a really tough thing when you bring up animals and all these different things, and then one of them dies.
Basically, he's saying because you're vegan, did it hurt you more than the average person?
Yeah. How upset you were when your Digby died?
Yes, it broke me, and without being super dark and deep on your podcast, I'm sure people know you're depressed whenever they listen to this, but like it changes you. Like it
really?
Changes, yeah. Because it's like a hole in your heart.
Really?
It's really sad. Yeah, it is. And it never goes away.
No, my thing is this, which is so interesting about dogs, is that I definitely need a calming influence in my life, right? That's what I need. And Sophie's wanted a dog for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Every single time the conversation comes up, I say no.
And why are you saying no?
Because I don't want the responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm scared of responsibility. I've never looked after a dog. I've never looked after a baby. I've looked after myself. That's hard enough. And and lots of other things going on. And I'm worried it will attract away from other things. I love Sophie so much. I'm worried also that another thing comes into our lives that maybe she would be focused on that.
You hate animals.
No, I love animals.
You're worried
really
the dog is going to take away your attention.
I don't know, maybe.
Is that what you literally said?
Concerned
of yours. I see that.
We hopefully, touch wood, have a future of responsibilities when it comes to kids and all these different things. Touch wood, that happens, you know. And my thing is that this is our period where we can really enjoy each other. We can travel easier. We can go out to restaurants. We can do all the things that we want to do. And does a dog hinder you from doing that? I don't know.
Yes.
And also the emotional baggage it comes with. You talk about Digby. That's a really upsetting thing for you.
Yes.
You said it leaves a hole.
They have a lot shorter lifespan than we do.
Exactly. And so you're then teeing yourselves up for a potential really sad time. And that's... For me, that's like opening a book and knowing the ending. It's really upsetting.
I'm really glad that you've brought this up because I think a lot of people go into buying a dog or rescuing a dog. I would never advise buying one. So if you want to know.
I agree.
If you want to rescue a dog.
We looked at rescuing one. We looked at rescuing one just to put that out there. Sophie was very keen for that.
If you want a puppy, I'm in there with all the rescue centers. I will get you a puppy, but please don't buy a dog because it's just like the worst industry. But I think that so many people need to think like you're thinking and really question it because it's a dog is a being. They're not a new fucking sofa or like a computer. They are a being. They are a responsibility. They are like going to be your child basically. So you will have to look after them until their last day. And that is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And they never grow up. It's not like a child where they end up being able to do things for themselves. They end up being able to wipe their own ass or like, you know.
You go, wipe your dog's ass?
No, but like, as in, then
the right
you
training.
Have to help them go to the loo. Like, they can't go to the loo inside. So you have to always let them out or whatever. Like, they can't feed themselves. Like, it's a huge responsibility, but.
Rewarding, right?
Very rewarding if you're the right person. Like, if you value your own sort of like selfish wants and needs and your time over that love that a dog will give you, then I don't know if it's right for you.
Fucking well, the great, I articulated it well. Yeah, that hasn't made me feel better.
I absolutely love dogs, but I always have like weird existential crisis when I think about like dogs as pets.
Yes.
Because I'm like, there's just this little guy on his own in this like box and he must be like, what the hell is life? Mm. He's like looking up at these humans and he's like,
great time.
Am I that? Like, what is this?
No,
like, and then every now and again, they go out in the park and they're like, is that a friend? I don't get it. It must be fucking weird.
No, I think pets really in general is fucking weird. Like, I agree with rescuing animals because I believe that, you know, you're saving a life. But breeding animals into existence to be our little fucking pets, it is weird. It is weird. And I think coming from someone
you should
who
spend a day
before,
as a pet. Get James, your husband, put you on a lead. And
I think
it
there's
would be fucking shit having something around your neck and being yanked every time you like want to sniff something, or like, you know,
what would you be sniffing?
Sniffing
needing,
ass, man.
Needing the loo so bad and waiting for your, you know, human mum to wake up so they can let you out, and just having to be like, oh, I'm just gonna have to hold it, and otherwise I'm gonna get in trouble.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's so shit.
Yeah, I never thought that.
So shit.
Yeah, I get in trouble.
We put a lot of our human
eating the same thing every fucking day.
They probably don't care too much about that.
Every single day, it's the same meal.
You're cruel. Why are you feeding?
I give them everything that I eat. Every time I eat anything, they have some.
Really?
Yeah, everything.
What are things do you eat?
They don't eat it because it's vegan.
Well, you know what I eat? I eat fucking plants.
The dog's like, great.
And a lot of ass.
That is a dog's diet, actually. Some grass and some ass.
Yeah. It's also grass and ass. That's what I want.
Setting down the
but
grass
Alex,
and ass.
You have a very good way of looking at it because you're...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Looking at, you're not very like narrow-minded with it, you're looking outside the box and you're thinking from their perspective, which is like quite
I feel like you're slating Jay while saying
I'm not thinking narrow-minded.
I'm rewarding your perspective because I think that it is unique. You are just thinking about yourself.
Totally, absolutely, because it's not in my life,
because I'm bringing it into my life. I feel like with animals, but with pets, we put a lot of our human emotion onto them. We it's our issue that we're then putting onto a dog, and we're like, oh, he's probably thinking this, and I'm like, I don't reckon the dog's actually feeling that, to be honest.
Hang on a second, I'm bringing a dog into my life. I'm not going into his life.
It's all about you, I get to
live with Jamie Lang.
You
fucking be living with me if it wasn't for me.
What, you think the dog's gonna know that you're famous?
That's not what I want.
The dog's like,
you
really
don't even know who I am.
The dog's really cocky in the park. Like, guess who my owner is?
It's like, you know, you just said, it's like when you get an emotional support animal. When you're crying, your dog isn't like, oh, I'm so sad that you're crying. They're literally looking at you like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think there is definitely a connection with dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, they are quite in tune emotionally though. So I do think there is that. But
we do just deflect our own shit on that a lot of the time.
Yeah,
I agree.
We do.
Hey, Lucy, so we're going to start that for part one. That was a long part one. Don't worry. We're coming back for part... Hey, listen, just don't worry. We're going to come back for part two. Well, do you know what we're going to talk about? What? Marriage.
Oh, yay. Oh, actually, no, I'm excited to talk about this.
Oh, no, I'm talking about it with you. This is our interview that we're interviewing you. Mm-hmm. You're not interviewing anyone else.
Really? Oh,
okay, you ready for this? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see you in part two, everybody. Bye.